make all ocean into ink and all the land into paper and all the trees into a pen and start writing the praise of God. The ink will finish, the paper will finish, the pen will finish, but God's praise will not finish. So much is the praise of God. So when we understand this, compared to the praise of God, how much do we praise Baba? And how do we know that we are praising Baba? Which means that this Baba says remembrance. In remembrance, how we are praising Baba, aren't we? We are saying, Baba, you are the ocean of peace, you are the ocean of love, you are Almighty Father, we keep praising and praising. And the beauty of this praise is, this is like a Vajina. The more you praise someone, the more you will have love for that one. So if you want to really feel that we have so much love for Baba, the sign of that is how much we are praising Baba. And how will the praise come from our heart? It's not superficial praise, it's not just external or just a show that we are praising Baba, but it is from the heart. And why and how is it possible to praise Baba from the heart? Only when we feel that we have achieved so much from Baba. So when we feel that we have achieved so much from Baba, so what have we achieved? We have to be aware of that also. So as we keep on becoming aware of what we have achieved from Baba, the more and more we will crave our Baba. And in this way, more and more we will be now for Baba. See, Baba also keeps telling us in the movie, children, without you I cannot do anything. Even if I have to establish golden age, I need your help. I cannot do on my own, I need your help. See, he's almighty, you know, he can do anything. Just turn a magic and he can just change us. They say God is a magician, yet it is not our thing. Yes, it is really. Say the magician, he can do anything. But still, he also knows that we will achieve only on the basis of what we do. Not on the basis of what he says, but what we do, because we live according to what we do. So this is a very big law in the Dharma, that we receive only what we have given, and secondly, we receive only what we have done. So we do, or we give, then we receive. And therefore, Baba says that as love begets love, Baba knows our work, and we know Baba's work, and this is why that love for Baba comes. Actually, whatever Baba says to us, in that there is love merged. Whatever. Not only the titles he gives us, in that Baba is Baba's love is merged, but even when he says, you children have become so many today, you children became tamokadan, you children fell on the ground, the light of your lamp is come weakness, in grace. They have not gotten their power. In that also there is so much love. If somebody else will tell me that, and you have become Samokranan, you are becoming pure, you are a sinner, how are you doing? Although in, on the part of devotion, we have been saying this for ourselves. You know, we go in front of God and say, God, I am a sinner. But if I tell somebody, you are a sinner, you get so angry. How dare you call me a sinner? What sin have I committed? We keep telling God that we are sinners. But then God does tell us, yes, you have been sinners. How many sins you have committed for 63 lives? Okay, you may not know all the past lives. But this life, if you write all the wrong actions you have done or whatever sins you have committed, whatever things you did or whatever, if you write to Baba, then Baba will finish half of your punishment, your half of your sins. So well, actually the thing is that some people say that how God finishes. Whatever we have done, we have to be. But then, what God finishes is the heaviness in us. Past life we don't know. But in this life, we have done something wrong, and we know that this was a very big sin. Now we have the knowledge of what is sin and what is virtue. That any action committed under the influence of any type of vice has been a sin. It's a sin, definitely. And all these actions which we committed under the influence of the vices, they were all based on body consciousness. And body consciousness is the biggest door to hell. They speak about Adam and Eve. They were cursed. If you look, you have to now go to hell. But what was responsible for that curse? They say they were in paradise. They were enjoying paradise. But God told them, don't eat that forbidden fruit. So then the Satan came and he encouraged them, don't listen to God. Eat that forbidden fruit, it's very sweet. And then they just became disobedient and obeyed Maya, the Satan, and that very moment they were cursed. And what was that fruit? It was actually body consciousness. So from copper age onwards, we all became body conscious. And then we enlightened on the vices and lust for the first vice. So they showed us how Adam and Eve, they found themselves not close. Before also they were without clothes, but they never got attracted to a specific environment. So the moment they ate that forbidden fruit, they got attracted towards each other's physical body, which was the first step of the license, the body consciousness, and then lust and the anger and greed, attachment and all that. And they were cursed, and what's the curse they were given? Although they say God gave that to them, that curse, because it is only God. But what was the curse? What was the curse? The curse was that now you have to toil hard. You have to work hard. And the mother to eat the curse was that you will bear as a child in your womb for 9 months and you will bear all the pain. And to Adam the curse was that you will toil hard, work hard, and you will earn for your livelihood and your family. So before that, you just have to earn. They didn't have to study. They didn't have to really work hard. They were enjoying paradise. They were enjoying everything of paradise. But the moment they disobeyed God, immediately that curse came to them. But actually God does not curse. He doesn't curse. Who curses? Maya curses, definitely. So Maya was the one who cursed in what way? By making them become more conscious. They disobeyed God. So that's what we are seeing in scripture, every scripture. I was told the other day about Ramayana. Lakshman Rekha, a line was drawn in front of Sita. You should not go out of this line. If you are within this line of code of conduct or of this line, then nothing will happen to you. You will remain safe. So then how Ravan came in the form of a sadhu, I'm sure. Like a beggar, and said, give me something to eat, I'm hungry. And she said, come in, come, I can't come out. And he tried to go in, but then that line was so powerful that the moment he tried to cross that, there was fire. So he could not enter. He could not enter, the fire was coming. And he said, I can't enter this line. You have to come out. And if you don't come out and give me, then I will curse you. That's what that sadhu said, that sage said. And she felt sorry for him. She pitied him, poor thing, hungry. And also there was sorrow, fear, also fear that he may curse me. And she was ready to disobey and cross that line of code of conduct, and how Ravan took her away. She belonged to Ravan. But then, she never forgot Ravan. She never forgot Ravan. And all the time she was crying for Ravan, for Ravan. So that's what was called as a yoga, a separation from Ravan. And because of that yoke, there was so much of sorrow. So much of sorrow. She disobeyed God. She crossed the line of code of conduct. She obeyed the enemy, you can say, Maya or Ravan. That it brought her fear, it brought her sorrow. And then she had to live for that soul. So we think that in Islam also must be something of that type, too. I don't know what is that much, but there it must be. So we can say that how, but still God did not lose His love for us. Although we, at the end of Kalyug, we say that today there is no love for God, it is only selfishness. It's not true love. How do we know it's not true love for God, even if we do a bhakti, so much praise of God, so much of devotion, so much of, you know, wandering from one temple to the other, one place to the other, searching for God. But it is still not because of that love for God. It is actually only selfishness. And how do we know it is selfishness? What is the sign of selfishness?
Asking.
God, you are so great, you are so wonderful, you are so elevated, you are the highest of high, you are this, you are that, you are the ocean of peace, you are the ocean of love. God, give me some peace. God, give me some peace. Give me some love. Even a drop of love is enough for me. Just give. You are so great. So give. So asking again is a sign of selfishness. So you are great and therefore give me. It's First of all, reminding God that He is great. Doesn't He know that He is great? He knows that He is great. But why are we praising Him and then asking Him?
Right.
Yeah, it's like a bride, no? It's like, you know, we in me, we say, Maskalaya. Buttering Him. You know, you want this opportunity, you want something from someone, you butter Him, no? Oh, you are so good, you are this, you are that, and that. You know, you keep praising that one. Because straight away you can't ask Him. To ask Him straight away. So that person understands that as you are buttering Him, surely you have come to ask Him for something. And you great people, they don't like to be buttered like that. They know what they are, why they don't want, have time to listen to their praise. They know. So usually when we go to big people, we get these, and actually they don't have time to just chit chat and talk like that. The first person they have is they come next to let us do some work. And the first person is, in what way can I help you? That's the first person they will ask. Because they know if I have come to Him and He is an authority, so surely I have come to Him for something. So He will not want to hear me uttering Him. Because He knows He's an authority and He can really do what He wants to do. So the first question He will ask, let me know in what way can I help you? Do something, let's hear on our job, instead of just wasting time over other things. So this shows that there is selfishness. But then, when we come to Baba, it's not that we were searching and we found Him. Again, God's love comes first. It's not that it's the fruit of our search. Because we searched, but to no avail. We couldn't find. But then God Himself comes and meets us. I think you are real incident. You know, once there was a brother who was sharing his experience. He was saying that I was searching for God so much. I went every temple, everywhere, every specific place. Where can I meet God? Where can I find God? And he was so fed up, that one day he was, you know, just walking on his roof where he was just stoning, and he was speaking to God. He said, God, if you don't meet me today, I'm going to kill myself if you don't meet me today. And this is what he was saying to God, and he was sitting on his roof. And all of a sudden, there was a kumumina going on in the kids. And as Baba said to the Muslim, you know, in a helicopter, you must throw pamphlets on a helicopter so that people will leave. And as he was speaking to God in this way, a pamphlet fell from the helicopter near his feet. And he wondered, what is this coming from the sky like that? And he picked it up. And it was written on top, Godly Invitation. Godly Invitation. Mother said, that you must write on your folder, your leaflet, Godly Invitation. The Godly Invitation? Invitation from God? Invitation from God? What does it mean? So inside was the explanation of the exhibition which was we had the Kumbhina, we get a pavilion, and then we hold up. We have pictures on this way. So many people come. And in that was written, what you can see in this mila. So immediately he went. God has sent an invitation. And he went there to the mila and saw the exhibition, sat in meditation in the meditation room. And as he sat there, immediately he got an experience of light. And so much love coming from that light. And as if he heard like a voice that God has fulfilled is from it that even we need. So it wasn't that he met God on his own, but God met him. Because he said he will die if God won't meet him. So, but then he couldn't find God anyway. So God did come to meet him and he had an experience. So this is why we say that on the path of devotion, it was definite in his selfish love. But then true love is not selfish love. True love is not selfish love. Because in true love there is actually a sacrifice. In true love there is a renunciation. You know how a mother has love for her child. She does not expect anything from her child at that time. Maybe later on you grow up and then he will look after me or whatever. But at that time she is just giving her love and affection to the child. And it is because of the love in her for the child. Although the child may not have that much love for the mother, may not. But the mother has definitely has love for the child. So mother's love comes first always. And when the child starts getting, then of course the child has love for the mother. But then there are also expectations. And these expectations are also part of love. Because if it is just one-sided love, then also that is not true love. That also is not true love, it is just one-sided. That will become attachment. You know, like sometimes we see in working families that the children are being spoiled. Why are children spoiled? Because children have been demanding so from the parents. And the parents were giving love and fulfilling all their demands and issues and desires. And then what happens? The children get spoiled. Yeah. And then they are become disobedient because their desires have been fulfilled. And then so they will always be wanting and never ever thought of even giving something. But then the real good parents will not just be attached and keep on giving and giving. They do have some expectation that means the child should be obedient to say, not responsibly, but at least be obedient, at least be free, at least be good in his morals and all that. So these expectations are always there in the parents. Because the parents do have high ambitions also for the children. The children have, but the parents have even more ambition for the children. More expectations. So that's also a part of love. And therefore they want a return in this way. That the children should give a good name to the parents. And therefore Baba also, not only he gives us the place, but he also expects a lot from us. So that is not selfishness, but that is also a sign of love. That what are the expectations from us? The children should become good, children should become obedient, children should work hard, children should do this. You know, from morning till night, he tells us about all the disciplines, the principles, and he tells us how to behave, how to overcome the vices. So these are his expectations in us, but then that also is a sign of his love for us. And if we abide by those expectations, whatever Baba tells us, then it proves that we also love God. So as Father shown Son, whatever Father has, he gives everything to his son, to his children. So then son shows father, the father said, the child will fulfill the expectations of the father and glorify the father. So that also is a sign of love. So how can we be always absorbed in mother's love? First of all, experience that love which is coming from God. Some say, I can't experience God's love. And you say, well, every day He's writing you a love letter. That is a sign of God's love for you. And they hardly realize that is a sign of love. God's letter, Father's holy. Love for the holy is actually love for God, isn't it? Because these are God's worship. And in order to be absorbed in God's love, we have to first of all experience God's love. And to experience God's love, we have to be absorbed in the Mundi. The knowledge which Baba gives in the Mundi, if we are absorbed in that Mundi, then definitely we can be absorbed in God's love. Because whose versions are these? They are not versions of any ordinary human being. No human being can say that whatever we hear is wrong. Humans don't have that much, no authority as God's authority in the movie. Whatever words there are, they are filled with authority. God speaks, so they are filled with authority. And in that authority also, there is so much love because the Father wants the children to change. And then, if the children are not changing, then how does the Father show His love for the children? How does the Father show His love for the children? Even the children are not changing, the Father will give some temptation. Usually the child is not studying. What will the father do? Right? If you study, you come first, I will get your answer. I will get this for you, I will get that for you. So, I will get this and get that. Is like tempting the child, no? So you study, and the father will give everything. So Baba also tempts us. How does he tempt us? He says, children, if you study this knowledge well, if you become obedient, if you follow all the disciplines, if you do this, then you will get a high status in heaven. So doesn't Baba say that? You will become a world sovereign. You will become the master of the world. You will go to golden age. So you will get such a high status. So when Baba says this, do we see Baba's love at that time? So Baba is just saying, I don't think so. Some children do say that. Baba is saying, but I don't think so. I don't think so I can become like that. But this is Baba's love for us. You know, once I was discussing with somebody, and I said the point to him that this is God's love to us. He wants us to be obedient children. But then sends us also that I'm going to give you this, I'm going to give you heaven and all that. And he says, but that even that is greed, no? Even that is greed. I don't want anything from God. I don't want heaven from God. I just want to go over and merge in heaven and the Brahmanism and worship. I don't want to come in this world at all. I don't want heaven. Now this is what even Arjuna said in the Gita. In the Gita it is written, yesterday it was in the movie, that if you die on the battlefield, you will go to heaven. So Arjuna is saying, but I don't want heaven for that reason. I kill them when I go to heaven. What a heaven would that be if I kill my kinsmen and then go to heaven? I don't want such a heaven. Because God told me that if you conquer them, if you win them, then you will become the sovereign in heaven. And even if you die on the battlefield, you don't win the battle, you will still go to heaven. So Arjuna says, I don't want to go to heaven. What's the use of going to heaven after killing all my family members, my relatives, my cousins and uncles and my gurus, and all of us? So I don't want such a heaven. want to open, renounce the attachment. The children, kill them, renounce the attachment. And he said, how can I kill them? So the attachment was in the world. He didn't want to obey God. He didn't realize that it was God's love for him. So sometimes when Baba tells us this, that we are going to become masters of heaven, we doubt ourselves. I can become master and I don't need to. He didn't have this knowledge and therefore he thought it was greed. Because he thought moksha is much more higher than him. And Baba said, Param Dham, going to Param Dham, what a big thing. Everyone will go to Param Dham. You all have to come, go there. Even if you don't want to go, we have to be forced to go there. God will take everyone home. If not through yoga power, then through punishment. You all have to return home. So going home is not our aim and objective. That everyone will go. Even if you don't make effort, you'll be punished and you'll go. But if you make effort, you will go home and then come to heaven. But they think your moksha is higher because you don't want to come back in this world. And why you don't want to come back in this world? Because this world is the world of sorrow. And Baba says, no, this is my creation. How can I create a sorrowful world? God is the highest and high and creation will be the lowest of the opportunity. So I create a world which is filled with complete happiness because you are my children. No father will want his children to be unhappy. Sometimes children complain to the parents, why didn't you give birth to me? Isn't it such a big insult for the parents to be said by that, but are the children to the parents, why did you give birth to me? Well, why do parents give birth to their children? Mothers can say, it is
for their own pleasure.
Yes?
For their own pleasure and
happiness. What? It's for parents' pleasure.
Yeah.
For parents' pleasure.
They can tell you the beginning of the time. More day, more get
done. For parents' pleasure or for giving happiness to the children?
Yeah, to pick up.
Getting pleasure may again is selfishness. So are the parents selfish by giving birth to the children? Or they want to help the children, to serve the children, to give happiness to the children.
We love our creation.
So you create to give happiness, or you create for your happiness?
Both
in. What comes first? Giving or receiving. Somebody said, I became a mother because I wanted to become a mother. I love to become a mother. So I said, when you say I love to become a mother, but why do you want to become a mother? So that you can give love to the children, or to get love from the children. Children will not love you, they won't know you. You have to love them, only then they will love you. If you don't love the child, this children child away, why will the child love you? So you have to give love to the child if you want love from the child for you. So we don't get children just to get pleasure. The aim is to give. Then again the aim is to give. So Baba says we are also God's children. So God won't give us sorrow. For which he has created this world, he has borrowed the children. Yes, his creation is for giving happiness to the children. Then as we were discussing, I said actually the desire for moksha, not to come back in this world, that desire is selfishness. Now, how can that desire be selfishness? So desire for moksha, how is it selfishness? I don't want to come back in this world. I want peace. I don't want this world. I don't want to come into karma. But how is that actually agreed or it is a greed, is it not? Going to heaven is greed for them. But wanting moksha because they want peace for themselves. But here when we say we are creating heaven, it's not only for me. It's not only for me. I will not be the only one who will be in heaven. It will be so many of us in heaven. So when I say we are creating heaven, it's not just me. Actually, it's for everyone. So is this selfishness? Selfishness is only for myself. So that moksha is only for that soul, no? What about these disciples? The guru wants moksha, but he can't take his disciples and okay, he gets moksha, so that is his selfishness. What about his disciples? And when Baba says, I take you home, he says, I will not leave without taking you back home. So, it's not that I will return home on my own. Gravity has all of you through with me. And we are serving others, not that I want only heaven only for myself, but it is for everyone. So there is no selfishness. If something is only for me, then that is selfishness. So moksha is only for me, not for others. And therefore that will be part of selfishness. So wanting to create a heaven is really, really a great sacrifice on my part. Because I'm serving souls. I'm helping souls. And when I'm helping souls, definitely I will receive also. When I'm giving, I'm getting. Or I will get only if I give. If I'm not giving, I will not even receive. Again, this karma towards what we come. But that in the giving, the thought of receiving should not come. You know, when we are serving souls. If we say that today I serve 10 people and I am serving them because I want them to become my subjects. Are you serving because of that? You want them to become your subjects? No. Are you bear children because they should look after you? No. You bear children so that you can gain happiness. So why are we serving souls? Because we want to gain happiness. Whatever I have achieved, I don't want it to be only for myself. I want to keep it. I want to share with everyone. And if I'm not sharing, then I'm selfish. In two ways I'll be a loser if I'm not sharing. If I'm keeping it only to myself, it will happen that even I will lose even that what I have because I'm not sharing. Only in sharing is experiencing. If I'm not sharing, I'm not even experiencing it myself. We often ask, in what there is more happiness? In giving or in receiving? Is there more happiness? In giving or in receiving? You know, there's a small story on this. That once a father and son went to a farm and there he saw an old man, very poor. He was, in a field and he was working in the field. And his shoes, which were tattered and torn, they were just outside the field. So the child told the father, "Father, let us do something. We will just take away his shoes and then this man will come. He'll see his shoes not there. He will be so sad and he will experience happiness. Because he will see him how sad he is, how he's crying, how he's looking for his shoes, he's upset. So he will be happy when we see him getting upset." The father said, "No, that's not the way to become happy. If you see somebody getting upset, you will never be happy." He said, "Why not be? Because you see that he's upset and he's frustrated and not knowing what to do, so we enjoy seeing him." The father said, "No, you will never, never really be happy with that. So what should we do in order to be happy?" The father said, "We should give him happiness." And how can we give him happiness? So these are tattered shoes. So just put 150 notes in the shoes. One shoe put 100, next shoe put another 100, and see what's happening. Now when this poor old man came and he tried to put on his shoes, he saw that there was some paper. And as he looked inside, it was a 100-rupee note. He was so happy. And then he put his other foot in the other shoe, another 100-rupee note. He was so happy. Now the father and the son were watching. And the happiness they felt, because he was happy, you can understand in what there was more happiness. In seeing the other one happy, or in seeing the other one frustrated, unhappy, miserable, crying, and searching. In which will the father and son be happy? When they are giving happiness to that person. So if I want happiness, I have to give happiness. That is what Dharma philosophy says. So if I am getting, receiving from Baba, but I am not sharing that with anyone, then even what I have will finish. And secondly, whatever I have will not give me any fruit in the future also. So if I want to continue having it, I must share it with others, I must also experience that myself, and not just watch it that I have it. Sometimes Baba says, we note down, we jot down all the points, and then we keep filling our diaries, and we watch our diaries. How many knowledge points we have in our diaries? And we are so happy that we have a treasure store of bully points. So many diaries are filled. But what about my behavior? What about my actions? Are they according to that also or not? I was saying this morning in the morning, in the Bhagavad Gita morning. Baba said that you have to collect points of jnana, it's fine. And we share with each other also. Today Baba said, so nice memory, look at your points memory, such a beautiful story. So you have all the light of it. So where is the light? So I remember when we were younger, we used to have classes on this. The light and mind from the knowledge of soul. First of all, what light did I get from this knowledge of soul? I'm a point of light, I have a tiny being, a cycle of beautiful words, I'm so tiny and invisible and this and that, my mind is this and that. Okay, we're journeying on that, on the soul. But in what way does that give you light? How does it give you power? How does it give you power? So light you got, knowledge is light. Knowledge is power too, but how will the power be spent on that knowledge? By bringing into practical life, by implementing it. I'm saying you're all soul, but I'm not seeing you as a soul. Then I'm not getting the power of the soul. So whatever I'm seeing, I'm implementing in myself, experiencing that myself and then saying it, then that will have its stronger impact. So in that way, I will experience both. Yes, in one way, if I'm sharing with somebody, even if I'm not experiencing, it's not bad. At least your time is saved, you are not wasting your time and energy in gossip or any other thing. It's true. But then, you're not getting the mind. You are just getting the light. I have so much wealth, I have so much money, but I am not using it. It will give you temporary happiness that you have so much money, but you have lots of gold, you have this, you have that, but you are not using it. So, that temporary happiness will be there, but the true happiness will come when you are only sharing it, when you are sharing it. So therefore the light of knowledge is just up to that mark only, that I'm churning knowledge and I'm happy with what I have, I've understood jnana well, but the light of it will come when I'm implementing it, become a soul, a point of light in a second. Can I become detached from the body in a second? Just by saying I'm a soul will not enable me to become detached, but I should practice this. I should practice bringing it. When I'm practicing it, and that feeling, that experience, this is mine. Otherwise, it's only theory. That is why in science is not just theory, it's also practical. In practical, we can get very good marks. You know, I'm a Bible science student. You can get more marks in practical than in theory. Theory is not always a very good mark, but practical is easy. Because you're seeing it practically in front of you. And practicals have a great impact more than what you know. So that's what Baba said. The sense is there. We are good teachers. But then how much are we implementing on ourselves? So our love for Baba means I praising Baba and I'm becoming the embodiment of that myself. And then being lost in Baba's love. Realizing the greatness of Baba. You know, on the path of bhakti, they say, Satyam Shivam Sundaram. Satyam Shivam Sundaram. God is the truth, God is the benefactor, and God is the beautiful. Now, why these three words? Because it is these three words which attract the soul. Truth attracts. If somebody is speaking lies, will that person be liked by anyone? If he is speaking lies, he'll say, oh no, forget him. He's a liar. He's a liar. Don't believe him. You will not even want to speak to him because he doesn't speak the truth. But if somebody is speaking the truth, then you will definitely want to go closer to him, want to believe him, want to have faith in him. And everything. But even if you're a liar, you want to go away from him. So God is called truth. Because he speaks the truth, he creates a world of truth, he makes us truthful. So truth attracts. So when I say God is truth, that truth should make me feel God, feel that we love God so much. Because truth is attracting me. So whatever Baba is saying to me is the truth. And as I'm hearing it and absorbing it, then I am like absorbing myself in God's love. So truth attracts, then God is the benefactor, Satyam Shivam. Shivam means the one who is the benevolent father, is always bestowing, Shivam. So Baba is the bestower, he's always giving. So when I'm receiving from God, I can be absorbed in God's love. See, he's so much of Baba. Thank you, Baba. Thank you, Baba. You know, there are people who say, we don't ask for things from God. We are not selfish. We don't ask for anything from God. But we can at least ask for peace and love and happiness from God, no? So that's what people say. Okay, even if I don't ask for peace and love and happiness, at least let me ask for forgiveness. Because I have committed so many sinful actions. Can I not ask for forgiveness? Should we ask for forgiveness? No. Why ask for forgiveness? That's what people do, no? In many religions, they can say, no, they go to the church and then they speak out and the father listens and okay, God has received it. Baba also said, write a letter that I have committed so many sins. So, shouldn't he confess? Yes or no? He forgives without our asking. Does he forgive? Or do you forgive for our karma? So Baba said, first of all, holy things we don't want. We don't want. Whatever we have, we thank Baba. We thank Baba much more than we think of what we want from Baba. So the more we are thanking Baba, the more we can be absorbed in God's love, because God is already giving me so much. That now I have only thanked Baba. Thank Baba for everything. For whatever I am, whatever I have received, or
whatever Baba is giving,
thank Baba.
So that I'm thanking, I can be absorbed in Baba. So that's what we should say on the path of devotion. We should thank God. We say thank God, thank God, thank God. So there should be a list. How to thank God? So there's a list of my wants and the list of what I have received. So which list is longer? Maybe the wants list is maybe longer, but then the list of what I've received is no less. There are thousands and millions of people who don't even have that much as we have. So how can we ever ask for more? We have no right to ask for more, no reason. So but that thankfulness definitely will help me to love God. And then secondly, if somebody may say, okay, can I not ask for peace and love and happiness? Baba says, no, why should you ask for that? That's your birthright. It's already with you. Peace is already with you. Love is already within you. You don't have to ask for that. Okay, should we not ask for forgiveness? Baba says, speak the truth. Whatever is in your heart, in your mind, tell Baba. Empty it out to Baba. Be truthful in that. Empty it out. But don't say, Baba, forgive me. Yes, Baba, this is what I have done. Now, Baba, I promise that I will never do it again. I will never do it again. This is a promise, and that will help me to absorb myself in God's love. Because I know that I have made a promise, I have kept the courage, and God will definitely help me. I have faith in that. So God helps those who help themselves. So how will I get help from God? Only when I'm helping myself. By just confessing, I'm not helping myself. Confessing is only an excuse. Okay, I confess to Mama. But again, I make that mistake. Little children, they make mistakes and say, sorry, Mommy, sorry. And then, okay, once the same mistake, second time, sorry. Again, the same mistake, third time, sorry. Fourth time, sorry. The mother will say, what is this? You are saying sorry, sorry, and you are still doing it? But so, for how many times will the mother listen to the story? Very often, sorry, 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 yes, I said sorry. And still we are doing something wrong with it. And saying sorry. So, mother says, just saying sorry will not help. Because, okay, even if I say sorry, how do I know that God has forgiven me? Why do my mind is still guilty, no? So how can I say that I have been forgiven? But yes, that the guilt can be finished if at that very moment I make a determined thought. Baba, I promise I will never do it again. And immediately I can become so light. And the next time I have to do that, immediately I remember my promise. But if I have just asked for forgiveness, sorry, sorry, I'll forget. But that promise will not be forgotten. And then when I promise, I remember it, immediately I will say no, and God will help me to not do that. So this is the result of my promising to God. So God is the truth, God is the many factor. The belief that what he gives us is what attracts the souls and what the matter can be absorbed in, that Baba has given us so much. And the third God is the beautiful one. Satyam Shivam Sundaram. So Sundaram means you like beauty. Everyone loves beauty. We all love beauty. Whether it's external beauty or internal beauty. But external beauty, we are not attracted so much. Right, of course. But you won't be attracted much. Why you won't be attracted much? The physical world will be attracted towards physical beauty. The common children will not be attracted much. Right? Because that beauty is only skin deep. Right? Beauty is only skin deep. What is beneath the blood and flesh and bones and muscles and all that. Are they beautiful? Is there a beautiful? I don't know. So then definitely beauty is only skin deep. You know, they, I read a book of sannyasi, how sannyasi become sannyasi. So they actually make men hate women.
Beauty,
but seeing the beauty of the soul. And every soul is beautiful. So attraction towards the beauty of every soul, and how every soul is beautiful, then every soul is virtuous. And when I see every soul's virtue, I can't forget the one who is the ever beautiful. So Baba is the ever beautiful, whose creation is so beautiful. And automatically we have love for all. On the path of devotion they say, if you have love for all, then that means you have love for God. But on the contrary, Baba says, if you have love for God, you will have love for everyone. Which is easier? Love for everyone and then that proves you have love for God? Or love for God proves love for everyone? Yes. It's like you want to water a tree, you water just the seed, that's all. And you water the whole tree. So if I am absorbed in God's love, I am thinking of all the greatness of God's love, God, what He gives to us, what His praise is, automatically I will love everyone because all is His beautiful creation. So absorbed in God's love means no, not hatred for anyone. Some people say, I love everyone except my neighbor. My neighbor. So why not my neighbor also? I should have love for everyone. So if I select many but leave out one, even that is not proper. I have only one and I hate everybody else. Like, you know, they say it's an interesting joke on it. That one somebody said in a lecture, my dear brothers and sisters. So a white person in the audience. She said, I'm not your sister. And then after that he started addressing me, his wife wasn't hearing. My dear brothers and sisters, except one. Except one. So otherwise you get upset. But anyway, the Father says, see each one as a soul. And if you see the beauty in each soul, then you automatically see God's beauty. But that is the harder way. Just see the beauty in God, and you will see the beauty in everyone. And then in this way you can be absorbed in God's love, and also be absorbed, of course, love for all in which you are sharing and giving. Because in giving, in helping, you are receiving. So it's not that you want to receive, that's why you are giving, but if you see, in giving is the true happiness. And that happiness, which not only others receive, but also you receive. So this is what we should experience, okay? And that's what Baba wants us. Okay, Om Shanti, Om Shanti. I'm sure you get a bus to go back. So this afternoon, you're all going down. We will, I think the Murli, not the Murli, maybe it is, but definitely, it is, I think, 2010, it is Murli, which will be, it should be given, shown today. But then, all of you have been hearing, what first time is? And but of course those who have been here many times, those who are more than 10 times in Madhuban, raise your hand. Those who are less than 5 times, less than 5 times, 5, 4, 3. Anyway, all of you are still lucky. Those who have been many years in Dhyan, of course, they have been very, very lucky. And Baba has been saying, you are late, but not too late. Even now Baba says, you are late, but not too late. You are too late, you never know what is going to be like. Too late means all doors closed. The aeroplane won't work, nothing will work. That it will be called too late. I remember once somebody was sharing that he came in Jan in 1968. And then everybody was telling him, go to Madhuban, go to Madhuban. He said, no, 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 I'll go next year, I'll go next year. And then next year, 69,
left the body on 18th of January 69, and he couldn't come to Madhuban. So it was too late, no, because he was saying next year, and he lost that chance anyway. There was even Abhay Sardara, many are in Dhyan for many years, but then we say, okay, next year, then now even that is not possible. And but even then, you know, when Abhay Sardara first full name of Asko, on 21st of January 1969, Baba said that now he will revise the Sakar Mujim. And Baba said that you may have heard Sakar Mujim many times before, but do you remember anything? No, you don't. And now we are, when we read Baba Mujim, Sakar Mujim, there's so many points which we had never been thought of before. Although we may have heard those mudras, read those mudras, also spoken those mudras, but it's a new point for me. Because we miss out so many things. And now, the revision of those mudras. And after that now, the revision of the Abhay mudras. Really, although I have translated them, if I've never missed any Abhay mudra, even listening, I have not missed because I understand my son. But then, after translating that only to her, now when I listen, I feel it is so new, Because how much have we really practiced it? Not that much, not comparatively. And therefore, my Baba is giving us a chance, okay, revise. The Sakar Mullis, they were like, creating diamonds, now we have to polish those diamonds, the Abhay Mullis. And polishing the diamonds is what we do to the Abhay Mullis. So whatever is still left undone, we must do it. And complete ourselves, become perfect. So every Mulli is towards, leading us towards perfection. And the more and more we practice it, the more and more we become perfect. Okay? Om Shanti.